National Fetish and the Blinds Banquet for the 44th State Convention. Live the life you want. We care, we share, we grow, we make a difference. It's called the water. Let me turn it over to Nikki. I hope you're enjoying your dinner. I had calls before anywhere from hot dogs and tater tots to steak dinners and hamburgers and whatever. We had pizza tonight, and I'm eating a Cobb salad as we speak from Jane from the town pub. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Excellent. So is Nikki there? Nikki gave
those. I am, Joe. Good evening.
He is. Okay. So let me turn this over to Nikki. My son will be, I think he's calling in now. So you do what you need to do. We'll put him on in a little bit. Joe from California is going to be calling in.
That'd be great.
All right. So Linda can control that stuff.
Okay.
Yep.
He's already.
And I think it was great that we had that Queen music. I thought we'd rather hear that than hear me speak for a little bit. But thank you, Joe, and another great convention. And congratulations to Linda. This is a little bit of a tribute to Joe and also to Linda. It's great to see change. Change is always good. There's been a lot of change, but we look forward to that. A couple things, Joe. I want to say I was hearing this during the convention. I kept hearing ha 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 thump, ha 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 thump, and I asked Joe. I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's everybody laughing their heads off at my jokes." Anyway, Joe,
I'll use it.
I know I got a few more for you, Joe. But anyway, our good friend David Dean Nateris gave me a quote to use for an award that I won this year earlier in the year, and it's "Rising tides lift all ships." And Joe, I want to thank you for your friendship, your partnership, and especially your leadership for all these years that we've been together, and will continue to be together as we support you and Judy again for all her work. And Linda, we're there to help you. I'm here. I told you on the phone the other day, anything I can do to help you, I will do. So just remember that. You know, this 2020 has been a rough year, and it's been a different year again, you know, and think about it. Think of the things that have gone on. Rutgers actually won a Big Ten football game. The Jets have not won a game. And I'm surprised that Joe hasn't been giving out Jet tickets as prizes, which can't go to the games, but that's okay. The Mets have a new owner, and Joe Ruffalo is stepping down, but not out. Remember that. And then he said that yesterday when he told Dr. Davis he is stepping down, but not out. And, you know, it was like it's a little sad, but it is a good thing. Is Father Max on the phone? Are we doing?
Yes,
Father
I
Max?
Am.
Father Max, can you do an invocation? Because it seems like some people have started eating. I'm waiting for your invocation, and then I will start my eating when we get.
Okay. Home. Well, how
Father
much time?
Max Bonacore, thank you for your invocation.
Okay. Well, how much time do I have for this?
Less than your usual homily.
Less than my usual homily.
People want to eat.
Okay. Well, good evening. You know what? I want to share just a couple of experiences quickly. I want to start by sharing my first experience of blindness in 1960 when I was about 3.5 years old. A construction of a new house on our property had begun. One day, I was playing under the kitchen table while my mother was working anxiously doing chores. I could hear her saying repeatedly, "I have to get ready. The blind man is coming. The blind man is coming." I was a toddler, but I knew that blind meant that a person could not see. And the image of a person with dark glasses and a cane came to mind. After a while, someone knocked at the door. I rushed out from under the kitchen table and went with my mother to the door. There was a man with a briefcase standing there. He didn't have dark glasses and a cane, and I kept looking at his eyes and watching how he interacted with my mother and walked into the house. It's clear to me that he could see. Suddenly, I tugged at my mother's dress and said, "Mommy, he's not blind." Both he and my mother started to laugh as she explained to me that he was the Venetian blind salesman, pointing to the blinds on the kitchen window as she explained what they were. I have reflected much on that episode over the years, and I've come to see that the person in that episode who was blind was me, the natural blindness of childhood. And I've come to think of blindness not so much as being visually impaired, but as being impaired in understanding and wisdom, but even more being impaired in spiritual awareness. And in both of these ways, every human being is born blind, but it is a blindness that we have the ability to overcome. And whether you are Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, etc., the repeated advice to you will always be daily read the scriptures and pray. This is the way to spiritual vision, but there are many things in our lives that compete for our attention. What can especially make us spiritually blind is our obsession with our work and our achievements and our attachment to the material things that we can acquire. As for an example, there was a young man who, because of his talents and abilities, had quickly earned a great deal of wealth. He was very proud and he wanted people to see how great his success was. In addition to buying a big home and a yacht, he also had bought a $500,000 Lamborghini. Lamborghini. One day he parked his Lamborghini at the curb and was getting out when another car sped by and hit the door, snapping it off, causing significant damage to the car. When the police arrived, the young man was complaining very loudly about how the other driver ruined his expensive Lamborghini. The policeman said to him, "You are so concerned about your car that you have not even noticed that your left hand was ripped off." The young man looked down and cried out, "Oh my God, where's my Rolex?" Well, but there's another danger to spiritual vision, technology. The other day I was listening to the news on my iPhone. I was hearing about the devastation due to the pandemic, bombings in the Middle East, the terror attacks in France, and I got into one of my existential questioning moods. So I said to my iPhone, "Hey Siri, what is the meaning of life?" And Siri answered, "I don't know, but I think there's an app for that." Imagine that, an app for the meaning of life. Technology, as you know, technology is vital for helping the visually impaired live the life they want. So many of the presentations during the state convention are dedicated to issues of technology, and that is that it should be. But there is always a danger lurking there. Technology becomes so much a part of our life and such a preoccupation that we may not have the time to do what is most important: read the scriptures, pray, and dedicate ourselves to loving service to other people in need. Without these, we can become spiritually blind. Spiritual blindness is a much worse condition than physical blindness. Joe Ruffalo often says, "I lost my sight, but I never lost my vision." Spiritual vision is the key to a meaningful life. The things that develop our spiritual vision, of course, don't always provide us with the immediate gratification that computer games and videos and music and chat room interaction on our computers and smartphones provide. That is why there is a temptation to skip the former in favor of the latter. We fill our day with audio and visual stimulation, and all the while, our inner senses, our spiritual vision, and the ears of our heart become dulled. We become spiritually blind and deaf. I want to give you a couple of examples of my own spiritual blindness. One day I was walking down the corridor in our school and noticed several boys standing around being rather loud. I asked them what they were up to. They said that the teacher had cleaned out her closet and put out some items for anyone to take. They successfully agreed upon who should have each item, but there was a pencil sharpener that several of them wanted. They couldn't agree on who would have it, so they decided to have a contest. The one who tells the biggest lie would win the pencil sharpener. I told them that someone who lies should not be rewarded, and I lectured them on why lying is bad. When I finished, one of the boys asked me, "Father Max, did you ever lie when you were a boy?" I said, "Well, when I was your age, I would never lie." Then one of the boys picked up the pencil sharpener and, handing it to me, said, "Father Max, you win the pencil sharpener." But I have a serious one example. Sometimes a blind person can see with regard to spiritual matters more clearly than a sighted person. My friend Nagy, I don't know if he's on. Nagy is blind, and it's because of him that I became a Federationist. And he's just that kind of person. I had been interviewed for a video which was presented at a special event at our school. Nagy was with me at that event. During the video presentation, I noticed that there was no footage of me included in the video presentation. When it was over, feeling very offended, I immediately got up and went over to the person who was in charge of making the video, and I criticizingly told her how I was offended that no footage of my interview was included. I was being very selfish. When I returned to my place near Nagy, I told him what I had done, and he immediately said to me, "Father Max, you need to go right over to her and apologize. That was unkind." Wow. Nagy, who is blind, helped me, a sighted person, to see the inner light with inner light, how my pride had hurt someone else. That is true vision. But as a follow-up, that question that I asked Siri, I asked, "Hey Siri, can you help me with the spiritual life?" Siri responded with a very apropos statement. Oh, my Siri is actually responding to me right now. And so where was I? I said to Siri, "I am not, wait a minute. Hey Siri, can you help me with the spiritual life?" Siri responded with a very apropos statement. "I am not qualified to assist." This is getting me all excited now. Okay, so Siri responded, "I am not qualified to assist with spiritual questions. I recommend that you ask someone more qualified than myself, preferably a human." And that is so true. It is only in our interactions with other people that we can truly encounter the divine, and our spiritual growth may be challenged. True spiritual growth, true spiritual vision requires the opening up of oneself to others, the giving of oneself to others in a way that challenges us to step out of our comfort zone. True spiritual vision is fostered in the context of loving interactions, serving those in need, forgiving those who have wronged or injured us. These are the interactions that are so typical of Federationists. And I want to say, I am so happy to be a Federationist. And I particularly the Northeast chapter, which is a great chapter. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask your blessings on all the officers of the National Federation of the Blind, especially President Mark Bono and all his associates. At this time, we ask you to grant special blessings to all the leadership of the New Jersey affiliate, Joe Ruffalo, Linda Melendez, Mary Jo Partica, Alan Sullivan, Andrew Rees, Anne Marie Cook, Linda DeBernardinas, Jane Degenshine, Mary Fernandez, V. Gaspa, and Zareta Krell. Lord, we ask you to bless all of the various chapter presidents and board members and all of the Federationists of New Jersey and throughout the country. And we ask you to bless all who have worked so hard in organizing and conducting this convention, all of the speakers and presenters, and we ask you to bless all the food that the Federationists are eating or about to eat, and grant all blessing to all who have prepared it. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Nikki Gakos, this is Linda Melendez. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have a very special visitor who would like to speak. So, special guest, you know who you are. You have the floor.
I assume that's me?
Yes, you assume correctly.
Yes. All right. So for some who don't know who I am, I'm Joe Ruffalo's son, Joe. How is everybody doing this evening?
Great.
Awesome.
We're all doing fine, Joe. All doing great.
Awesome. So let me start by saying, I think if my family, and you know him by now, if my family had a saying, it would be beware Ruffalos with microphones. So I'll keep this as quick as I can. I have to say, I was lucky to grow up with the father I had. At a young age, I knew my father was different. From the time I was 3 and he fell in a ditch and I told him he needed a cane. I mean, what is more reliable as a guide than a 3-year-old, right? Until now, my father has taught me to see wonders in the world and see wonders in people, to truly not judge someone by their appearance, but by their character, to experience life with a deeper understanding than just a surface view. I may be sighted, but my dad gave me vision. Congratulations on helping others open their eyes and see. Now it's time for others to lead the way. And if you did half a good a job as you did raising me, rest easy that the NFB NJ is in more than capable hands. Congratulations on your semi-retirement, and press on.
Joseph, thank you so much.
Very nice, Joseph.
Thank you, son. And we'll be seeing you soon once this pandemic ends. We're saving our money for airfare. Don't worry.
Sounds like a plan.
Hopefully we'll see you in Tennessee.
All right. Take it easy, everybody. You can enjoy the convention and stay well.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Joe. So, and thank you, Father, for that wonderful talk. And thank you, Siri, for being part of our convention also. Father, the other day I went to the doctor and I said, Doctor, I'm addicted to Twitter. And he said to me, sorry that I don't follow you. Anyway, I'm trying not to be Joe. You know, we have all this time.
You are the winner. You are the winner.
So, but Joe, there's some things I'd like to share with you. And you know, this has been a very challenging year for a lot of our blind entrepreneurs in the country, or a lot of our merchants. And, you know, we thank God for Zoom, and we've partaked in a lot of state conventions, and which has helped us a lot. You know, here in New Jersey, I'm not quite sure, but we only have 14 out of 37 blind vendors that have been working since March. It's been very tough. We probably are going to lose 300 to 400 blind vendors around the country, not to COVID, but to COVID related closings of buildings, you know, state buildings and federal buildings. And it's going to be tough for a lot of our guys. But I can say a number of things. We worked very hard. Julie brought it up yesterday about trying to get money for the centers. We were fortunate that we were able to get $20 million for blind entrepreneurs with the help of John Prey and Jeff Kellogg and the National Center. That's part of working with the National Center on the money for the centers. Also, it is in the HEROES bill. If we ever get a C4 bill, I'm sorry, it's in the appropriations, and it did not get in the Senate, but we're hoping that we were told that it's going to stay, and hopefully we'll get that money to help our blind entrepreneurs out. But we are looking forward to coming up in 2021, as many of us are, you know. And people ask me, are we going back in 2020 or 2021? And I say, no, we are not going back. We are going forward. And that's the opportunity we are looking for, because we are Federationists. And it's the love that we give each other and the ability to learn and to do everything that we do. So I just want to talk a few things here, Joe, as we talk about it, that, as I saw before, that I get these daily motivational speeches on a daily basis. And the other day there was one, and it just happened that these came right before this talk tonight and to do this. And it said that life is a gift and gives that you give in life. And it was perfect for you and for Judy and for Linda. And they are love, respect, appreciation, and purpose, forgiveness, and the truth. And Joe, I can't think of five more things that remind of what you have done for us here and that Judy has done, and that we would give these to Linda so that she could follow these five principles. And yesterday, Julie talked about when President Riccobono was walking last year week on the 80th anniversary of the National Federation of Blind. And another quote that I heard, and I think she brought up yesterday, was to lead people, walk beside them. And Joe, you've walked behind us, along with us, and in front of us. And I can't personally thank you enough. It was an honor this year when we got the awards for the 110th anniversary of the Commission for the Blind that we were together, and when that together, that made it special for me that we did that. So, and in these studies, we got to learn lessons from the Godfather. And I said, geez, who's our Godfather? I think that's Mr. Ruffalo. So here are six real quick principles to learn about in business and leadership. Never hate your enemy, number one. We've learned that from John. Build authentic relationship. We've learned that from John. Understand what the other side wants. I think we've learned that from John when he's dealt with the Commission for the Blind and other things. Listen and don't talk. Very big one. Don't settle for the easiest path. Find ways to win. Another one that Joe has taught. Observe. Very important to observe. But the most important one that Joe has taught us, and it came from a quote from the movie The Godfather, was leave the gun, take the cannoli. And the business lesson and leadership lesson from this is keep your priorities straight and don't forget to treat yourself or your better half after a job well done. Thank you, Joe. Life is a gift. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Dick.
I'd like to introduce the head table. The head table tonight, to my right, my wife, Kathy Gake. Next to her, Judy Ruffalo. Next to Judy, Joe Ruffalo. On the other side, Julie Deedon, who will speak here in a few minutes. And Dan Burke, welcome to New Jersey. Linda Melendez, Mary Jo Partica and Stan Partica, Ellen Sullivan and Andrew Reese, the head table. And you know what? We're all at a head table tonight. I know we'd all like to be together. I know I saved a lot of money this year by not picking up Dan Ficini's bar tab, but that's okay. All participants are at a head table tonight. So we want to thank you for coming. We want to thank you for a great convention. We want to thank you for things that are going on. Julie, I want to tell you a little bit about New Jersey before you speak. And we've had a number of speakers from Colorado. We've had Kev a couple times. We've had Gasho when he was in Colorado. We had Diane. We had Scott. And now we have you. Something we must have a good relationship with Colorado. But so we have, not this year, but the other years, Joe has done in the National Federation of Blind, has had surfing lessons down in Asbury Park, New Jersey, my home original town that I grew up in. One day I'm watching and we have piers that go out and Joe's leading everybody. The next day I know everybody's walking off the pier. And I'm like, what are they doing? Joe, why are they doing that? And he turned around and looked at me and said, peer pressure. Anyway, so there was a man that was in the ocean and he was drowning and the lifeguard went out to save him. And he said, leave me alone. God is going to save me. And he went out a little bit more and there was a fishing boat out there. And he said, you're drowning. Let me help you. He said, no, nope, God is going to save me. And then he swam out a little bit more and a cruise ship came by and they said, sir, let us help you. We have blankets. We have food. We can save you. He said, no, God is going to save me. And the next thing you know, the man drowned. And he went to heaven and he said, God, what happened? Why didn't you save me? And he said, dude, that's how we talk in New Jersey, Julie. He said, dude, I sent a lifeguard out for you. I sent out a fishing boat for you. I even sent a cruise ship by to get you, but you didn't want that. He said, so what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is this. Don't be afraid to ask for help. If you need help, take it. And lesson number three, don't be stupid. Life is tough and life is a lot tougher when you're stupid. Julie, we are excited for you to talk tonight to us. And Julie, I have a question for you. In New Jersey, what comes after a sentence? I'll give you the
parole.
An appeal.
An appeal. Very good. Very good. Or a cannoli.
Or a cannoli. But always leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Take the cannoli. I love some cannoli right now. And
we'll get you some. We'll get you some. We'll bring some to you when we can travel. We'll bring some to you. So anyway, right before I bring Julie on, I do want to say one thing. I heard this morning, actually, after a class that I took early this morning. And this is for 2021. What do I want more of in my life? What do I want less of in my life? What am I willing to do about it? What do I want more of in my life? What do we want more of in our life? What do we want less of? But what am I willing to do about it? We are honored tonight to have Julie Deedon from the Colorado Center for the Blind to talk to us at our banquet tonight. I know it's different. I know it's a lot different. But nothing in life is of any value unless you can share it. So Julie is going to share with us some great words. She was great yesterday during her presidential report. When she did it, she's been great. I've been out to the Colorado Center, not as a client, but I was there for meetings, and it's great. You know, I'm spending many of my years in Colorado. So Julie, we welcome you to New Jersey. We welcome you with open arms. Julie Deedon, our national rep with our banquet speech for 2020.
Thank you so much, Nick, and thank you to everybody. It has been such a gift to be able to be here with everybody for this full weekend. And what better convention could I have been able to be at than this convention? I'm in a room right now in my house. And of course, my husband, Dan Burke, is right next to me.
Hello.
He says hello. And I wanted to first say that when our students graduate at the Colorado Center for the Blind, everybody has an opportunity to talk with them. Similarly to what happened this afternoon when Joe graduated in a new part of his life. And one thing that I tell our students when I hand them their Freedom Bell is that as one blind person moves forward in their lives, we all move forward in our lives. But I have to say, as Joe moves forward in his life, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of blind people have also moved forward because Joe has touched so many people. And that is a gift that we all have in the National Federation of the Blind. So as I mentioned in my national report, we talked about 80 years. So I have my speech tonight kind of revolves a little bit around that. On November 16, 1940, 60 individuals met in Wilkesboro, Pennsylvania to form the National Federation of the Blind. We are 80 years old. So tonight, I'm going to talk to you about my membership in the National Federation of the Blind for the past 42 years. But I don't want to scare all of you because I promise I won't be talking in great detail and you won't be here for hours and hours and hours. But I'm thinking about kind of my journey from 18 to 60 in the National Federation of the Blind. But I have to start off by talking about I was born in 1959 and my parents knew nothing about blindness at all. I have an older sister and they had never met a blind person. They knew nothing about how would they raise a blind person? What would they do? 2 years after I was born, my brother John was born and it was discovered that he was also blind. But my mom and dad talked to a lot of people. They didn't know about the National Federation of the Blind in 1961 and 1962, but they did talk to a lot of people. And my mom and dad, I salute them. Because of them, my brother and I, John, had a great beginning. They were, of course, devastated that we were blind, and they weren't sure what would happen to us. But at the same time, they had high expectations of us. And I remember vacuuming, and I remember getting shocked plugging in that vacuum cleaner. And my mom just said, you know, you're going to learn how to plug it in. You can do it. And I did. I only got shocked once, and I learned how to plug things in and vacuum the floors. My mom did not let my brother and I get away with anything because we were blind. Good beginnings are the key, and I'm very fortunate that I had that beginning. When I went off to public school, I was fortunate. Also, I had some vision. That's not why I was fortunate. I was fortunate that I got to learn, that I was able to learn Braille because I did have some vision. They tried large print for me and it didn't work out so well. And thanks to my itinerant teacher, Mrs. Gump, she started teaching me Braille in first grade. And I mentioned this at the parents' meeting earlier today, that Mrs. Gump would stay up till midnight sometimes with a Perkins Brailler pounding out assignments for me for the next day. She also was did not let me get away with a thing and circled all my mistakes that I made in Braille. And to all the teachers out there, you give people so much, and remember the impact that you have on everybody. So as a result of getting to learn Braille at a young age, I always love to read, and I'm so happy about that. As I said, though, I did have some vision, and I never thought of myself as being a blind person. I did not want to be blind. When I heard the word blind, I thought it was meant we were inferior. We were stumbling. Blind people were stumbling. Blind people were bumbling. Blind people were incompetent. Blind people couldn't amount to anything. I wasn't blind, is what I thought. I was visually impaired or partially sighted, and I did my best to hide it all through school. So I went off to high school, and I was 16 years old, and they said to me, my Mrs. Gump said, "Now, Julie, you're going to be working with someone else as well. There is a woman that the school district has hired. Her name is Ina Schwartz, and she's going to be teaching you how to get around." And I said, "Well, I don't need to learn how to get around. I get around just fine." I had the school memorized. I knew where everything was. I knew where all the steps were. And I went places with my friends. So I was fine. I did not need to learn how to get around. So I met Ina Schwartz, my teacher, and she handed me a cane. And I was devastated. And I remember crying. And I said, "I am not blind. I am not going to use that cane." And she said, "Julie, just take out your cane when you're crossing a street, and then you can fold it up again." So I was taught that I could hide my blindness by hiding that cane. And so because I was in high school and because I followed rules pretty well, when Ina told me that I was going out on a lesson, I would go and I used the cane a bit. Once I finished up high school, though, I threw my cane away. And I decided I would never, never have anything to do with that cane because I wasn't blind. I hid my identity and it put a lot of pressure on me. So even though I used Braille, I couldn't really read print, but in my mind, I wasn't blind. So I went off to the University of Colorado in Boulder, and I still thought, you know, that I felt like I was fine. I had really good grades in high school. I was a great reader, as I said. I memorized a lot of the campus at CU Boulder. I didn't use a cane there either when I went off to college. And I joined a sorority, and I thought, this is great. I just love college. But I was so uncomfortable in so many instances because of my blindness and because I hid my identity and who I was. So I actually even dropped a class. I was taking a Spanish class, but I had to go. It was dark. The building was really dark. I couldn't see where steps were there at all. And I worried so much about it. And I thought, you know, I don't really need to take Spanish right now. Anyway, I have plenty of other classes I'm taking. I'm just going to drop that class. I don't need that class. So I did. I dropped the class. So once I began at the University of Colorado, similarly to Joe's story that he told us earlier today, the phone would ring once a month. And she would say, "Hi, Julie, my name is Judy, and I'm with the National Federation of the Blind of Boulder, and we're having a chapter meeting. Would you like to come?" And I'd say, "No, you know, I'm so busy. I have a test. You know, I have so much to do. I'm just not able to come." And she'd say, "Okay, well, maybe I'd like you to consider it, and thank you." And so the next month, the phone will ring again, and she'd say, "Julie, hi, this is Judy. How are you doing? Would you like to come to a chapter meeting?" And again, I'd have an excuse. So finally, month after month after month, when Judy would call me, she broke me down finally, kind of like Joe got broken down too. I went to my first meeting of the National Federation of the Blind, and it changed my life. So my first meeting was in April of 1978, and similarly to Joe, again, I still remember the presidential release. Joe, can you believe it? So the meeting was in the University Memorial Center at CU. There were all these really happy blind people around. Everybody had canes, and it was night too. And I was a little worried about how I would get back to my sorority house, but I didn't tell anyone that. But let me tell you about the presidential release, because this is a monumental one that I heard for the very first time. It was Dr. Jernigan talking about leaving Iowa and moving to Baltimore, and talking about the fact that our headquarters were moving to Baltimore. And it still sticks with me so much. The meeting, the presidential release, just all kind of came together at that point for me. I knew when I walked out of that meeting that I would definitely continue to come to NFB meetings. So guys, probably if I was standing at a podium, I wouldn't be a little kind of teary like I am right now. Maybe, I'm not sure. So I'm going to move on and talk about something else that had a major impact on me. This is a film that we put together in the National Federation of the Blind. And the film is called We Know Who We Are and We Will Never Go Back. And I saw that film, and I still remember at the end of the film, Dr. Jernigan talking and saying, we know we are a minority, but we know who we are, and we will never go back. And I thought to myself, I will never go back. So, but still, I wasn't going to use a cane. I've got to tell you guys that much. So I went off. This is in 1978. And I attended my first national convention in 1978 in Baltimore, Maryland. I think by then, a couple of my friends convinced me that maybe I should at least have a folding cane. So I did go to Baltimore with a folding cane in my bag. I'm going to tell you a few things about what it was like for blind people in 1978 and what my impressions were at my first convention in 1978. Wow, it's hard to believe that it was so long ago, really, because it's so clear in my mind. I remember walking into the Sheltered Workshop Division meeting, and I have to tell all of you that the room was packed with people. A couple hundred people attended the Sheltered Workshop Division meeting, because that's how many people, there were hundreds and hundreds of blind people working in sheltered workshops at that time. Also, one thing that I kind of focused on was that it didn't seem like people were very independent. There were so many people that weren't using their canes, and people kind of being taken places, and it just was not like it is right anymore when you see people running around. And so I really noticed that the people were kind of being taken places, and they didn't seem to have the independence. A few things that happened at that convention that stick in my mind also were that the Teamsters Union spoke at that convention and talked to us about organizing. And even then, we were talking about that we had to change conditions for blind people in sheltered employment. So many people were being paid sub-minimum wages, and so many people were being abused in sheltered workshops. Another thing that was happening at this time, about 40 years ago, was that we were all, so many blind people, were getting their canes taken away from them on planes. We were told as blind people, you can't have your canes, they're weapons, we're going to hit turbulence, they're weapons, their people will be hurt. And so people were getting their canes taken away. One of the most fun things that we did at the convention was we got to go picket the FAA that year. And of course, I loved that. So my first state convention was in September of that year, and it was in Grand Junction, Colorado. And I had met Diane and Ray McGeorge several times, and Diane and Ray, from the very beginning, were such wonderful mentors towards me. Diane and Ray were late to our state convention. Can you believe it? Have you ever known Diane and Ray to be late? Diane to be late to anything? Well, Diane was late to the convention because she was arrested on a plane. She was told that she needed to move to a bulkhead seat, even though she was settled in her own seat on the plane because she had a dog guide. Diane refused to move and was arrested. So we talked a lot about that at our convention. Some of you have heard of the National Accreditation Council of Agencies Serving the Blind and the Visually Impaired. For the first 15 years of my involvement in the National Federation of the Blind, I had so much fun to go knack tracking year after year after year in all kinds of cities because we were not going to give up. And we knew that we needed to do everything we could to dissolve knack. So it was so much fun. My first knack tracking was in Chicago. It was really windy. Our signs would blow all over the place. We had to hold them down with both hands and march, march, march on the picket lines, yelling all day long. One time in Minneapolis, we were marching and it was really cold. And even though we had a permit to march, they told us that we could no longer march out by the highway area where we wanted to be, where we wanted to be visible. So we went towards the building where NAC was meeting. And I still remember standing there and singing with 300 blind people, "We Shall Overcome." I'll never forget it. One person that I marched with in the picket lines, he's no longer alive now, is Primo Foyanini. Primo was a most wonderful man and worked in a sheltered workshop. And we marched for Primo and we marched for everybody because Primo was abused at the sheltered workshop. And he just really struck me. You know, I got to know him. And, you know, that's what it's all about. All of us in the National Federation of the Blind marching together. So in the fall of 1979, I had the honor to attend our leadership seminar at our new building in Baltimore. I still remember Dr. Jernigan conducting the seminar, and we were called the Saintly Seminar, which I've always thought of myself as a saint, so that's perfect. And I still remember Dr. Jernigan, and the other day I was thinking about my speech and I was looking back at some old notes, and I actually have notes from that seminar, which I had forgotten that I have. But Dr. Jernigan talked about the building, and he talked about what he imagined the building to be. And he talked about the fact that we would take over that whole block. And for everyone that knew Dr. Jernigan, you know, he had such vision for what we would be doing in the future. So I was still, you know, the leadership seminar really moved me forward in the National Federation of the Blind and all my experiences. But I was still really struggling with using a cane all the time. And I still remember speaking with Ray McGeorge one time, and he said, "Proud to be a blind person." And I was walking to class. I was going to school then at the University of Northern Colorado, and I had a little bit of trouble finding an empty chair in class, and I just was a little stumbly and bumbly. And I went back to my room, my dorm room, and I grabbed my cane, and from then on, I never went anywhere without my cane. So we're still in the 80s, guys. I know it's 2020, and we're going to keep moving on here. But, you know, so much happened, and I have so many impressions of these things. So another thing I want to tell you about is Kevin Worley and his family in 1985 decided they were in St. Louis, and Kevin had two small children. They were going to go from St. Louis, Missouri to Festus, Missouri. It was about a 40-mile ride on the bus, and they were in line waiting to purchase a bus ticket. What happened is they were told, "No, you have two small children. You cannot handle your children. We will not sell you a ticket to Festus, Missouri. So Kevin said, well, if you won't sell me a ticket, then we're not going to leave. And they said, we'll arrest you. And they did. They arrested Kevin, threw him in jail. First thing that Kevin did was give Dr. Jernigan a call. And as you can imagine, Kevin was bailed out of jail almost immediately at that point. So in the early 80s, we were really dealing with so much. We were dealing with NAC. We knew that we needed to get control over all services for blind people. We knew that we were not going to settle for others telling us what we should do and how we should do it, and that sighted people were going to be in control and we were not going to be in control. I remember vividly many resolutions meetings and other discussions about should we in the National Federation of the Blind be providing training ourselves to blind people so that we could ensure that blind people could receive the training that we really needed to have. And in 1985, Joanne Wilson opened the Louisiana Center for the Blind. And in 1988, Diane McGeorge and Joyce Scanlon opened our other two NFB training centers. What a magical thing that they did. I have so much respect for them. Diane opened the Colorado Center for the Blind when she was 55 years old. And you know what she loved to do about more than anything was go rock climbing. So for those of you that know Diane, she's tiny. She could slither up a rock about faster than anybody else. Diane is a great, great role model for our students. My role, when our centers opened, I was working as a rehabilitation counselor for the state of Colorado. And so I had the privilege of being able to refer students for training to the Colorado Center for the Blind. I still remember getting a call from Diane one evening, and she said, Julie, there's a man here. He's from New Jersey. His name is Ronald Harris. He got on a bus because he decided he needed some training, and he's here in Colorado right now. And she had him stay at her house, and I was able to open up his file and get him to the Colorado Center for the Blind. And it definitely changed Ronald's life. And that was like probably in 1990 or something like that. But I was very involved in the National Federation of the Blind on the side of the rehabilitation counselor. I'm referring people to the center. I also was the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Denver too. So I was very, very, very involved, as you can imagine. One of the things that stands in my mind, in 1989, we had an open house at the Colorado Center for the Blind, and the day of the open house, there was a tornado, and we all sat together in a room. We were all pretty scared and heard the roof going off in a couple places, and so we came into the world in the Colorado Center with a bang, and we're still doing so much, so many great things. So in the 80s, something that also stands in my mind is I was on jury duty, and I went in, and I was working, as I said, as a rehabilitation counselor, so I was able to have some time off. I went in for jury duty, and I was pretty excited because it sounded like it would be a really interesting case, and I thought, well, yeah, this will be kind of interesting, and I made it through the first kind of through half of a day, and then they started questioning some of us. And the judge said to me, Ms. Deedon, you cannot see the evidence. You are excused. And I was shocked. And I said, well, I think that there could be some other ways that I could take a look at the evidence. And he said, Ms. Deedon, you are excused. And he was very severe. And I didn't really think about the fact that I had talked back to a judge. But I did, and I walked out that door, and I was devastated. I just started to cry. We didn't have cell phones or anything then. And so I took the bus home, and of course, you all imagine the first person that I called was Diane and Ray. And, of course, they helped me through it all, and Scott Labar as well. And as a result of that, we had a bill passed in Colorado so that this can no longer happen. So in 1993, my son Robert was born, and I was a little nervous, too, wondering, you know, I hope that there won't be anything, you know, that he couldn't be taken away from me because I'm blind. Of course, you know, I was fortunate that did not happen at all. But, you know, we are an NFB family, and my son Robert, who's now 27, still calls Diane McGeorge Dee Dee, because that's what all of her grandchildren call her, was Dee Dee. So in the fall of 1997, I decided that I wanted to make a change in my career. And the opportunity came up for me to work at the Colorado Center for the Blind. I left rehab on a Friday and started my work on a Monday at the center. And of course, Diane was there every step of the way as my mentor. I became the director of the center in March of 1999. And Diane said to me, she said, Julie, you know, I think before I became the director, she said, I want you to go to Baltimore. I want you to spend a little bit of time with Dr. Maurer. And you guys, I was scared to death. I thought, oh, you know, I don't really know Dr. Maurer very well. And I'm going to go all by myself and just spend time with Dr. Maurer. Well, you can imagine that Dr. Maurer was just so caring and so wonderful towards me. And the thing that stands out that he said to me was, Julie, the main thing to always remember is to love your students. Washington Seminar has always been a really fun thing that we do, because we are all running around on the hill and we are making change happen. One of the things that I did for many years at Washington Seminar was work in the Mercury Room. So I would be the person sitting at the table taking reports. You know what I look forward to more than anything else was seeing Joe Ruffalo come in with a group of his lead students. And Joe, year after year after year, I would always, so many times, I was the person that got to talk to your students, to the lead students, and take reports. And Joe's energy is just infuses into everybody. I love Joe. I loved watching Joe working with students and getting them to do things. That is what it's all about. So I'd see Joe in the Mercury Room, and then I would also observe Joe, which he never knew this, at the deli a couple times, working with the students down there, helping them figure out what kind of sandwiches they were going to order and everything. Scott Labar is another mentor that I've had over many, many, many years. And I love Scott so much, and I have learned so much from Scott. I still remember meeting him for the first time in Washington, D.C., because he wanted a piece of peanut butter pie, and I took him to Diane's suite to get him a piece of pie. And I thought when I met him, which he doesn't even know this, but I thought, wow, he was a student then, but I thought, you know, he just really seems like he's going to be doing really well. Scott became president of our affiliate in 2005. I have gotten to go to court to see Scott in action as an attorney, and I always really enjoy watching Scott. Also, we had our state convention just a couple weeks ago, and we had a incident with staff members at the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment, and I learned so much from watching Scott. So, you know, we all learn from our mentors, and we all are so fortunate that we have so many mentors. In 2016, I married Dan Burke, and I'd see Dan in the Mercury Room too. And so he might have been disappointed when I said I was more looking forward to seeing Joe Joe in the Mercury Room than Dan, but I didn't really know Dan real well. But, you know, Dan and I, we were on a scholarship, on the scholarship committee together for the NFB in 2012. And that's where I really got to talk to Dan on flying there and everything. And so Dan and I were married in 2016. And I know Joe talked earlier about why I am a Federationist. And I'm not a Federationist just because I got to meet Dan and be married to Dan and love Dan. But it's definitely a perk for many of us in the NFB because we meet people and fall in love. And one of the songs that we had at our wedding was, "I Have Been Waiting for You All of My Life." And that is so true. So I love Dan so much. And there's no way that I could ever do the things that I do if it were not for Dan. So thank you so much, Dan. So thousands of people have complete. So now we're jumping to 2020. We are in the year 2020. Thousands of people have completed training and have graduated from our NFB training centers. You see blind people running around the country, working, doing all kinds of things, and having that confidence that they know they can compete. We will be passing the Transformation to Competitive Employment Act so that never again will blind people be paid sub-minimum wages. We're passing parental rights bills in states all over the country, and we will continue to do that so that no blind person needs to worry that they will have their child taken away from them because they are blind. We are in charge of our destiny, and we will continue to work in all areas to be equal. Dr. Jernigan said, "We know who we are and we will never go back." And Mark Riccobono, in the letter that I read, said, and I will quote him, "Take a moment to reflect on those Federationists who you have known personally, who have helped us get to today. Then, with the warmth of that love, turn, link your arms with me, and let's march into the future together." Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Dan. Hello. I hope they heard my
speech. Welcome, Julie Deegan. What a great speech that was. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda.
I think Joe might have stepped away. I know that it's been a long day for him. So I just want to thank you on behalf of our members. You have been an amazing co-host. We absolutely love getting to know you and your life. And we especially love learning about your journey with the NFB. Many of us are starting a journey. Some of us are still in our journey. And others are long time into the journey. But as you said, we always can learn from each other and we need each other. And there's nothing like family. So, Julie, you are a New Jerseyan. So I say
yes,
to you.
Yes, I am. Thank you for making me a New Jerseyan, Linda.
Yes. And when you go someplace and they say where you're from, you don't say New Jersey, you say Jersey.
Jersey.
And you ask them what exit.
Okay.
That's how we know where we live. I'm from Jersey. What exit are you at? So I would like to turn it over to our master of ceremony, Nikki Gakos. Thank you so much, Nikki. And Julie, we love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Video now starting alert. Video now stopped alert.
Can we get a door prize? Thank you, Julie.
That sounds like a great idea, Nikki. Thank you. And Julie, that was a wonderful, wonderful talk, and I enjoyed every second of it. So thank you so much. And thank you, Nikki, for being our master of ceremonies. And also, Father Max, thanks for your blessings and inspiration. Okay, now the door prize. All right. We have a very nice $50 Amazon gift card from the Northeast chapter, and we are very grateful to the Northeast chapter. And the code word is "we share." And in order to get your $50 gift card, you have to either email nfb.newjersey@gmail.com or call or text Linda Melendez at 732-421-7063. And the winners must leave their name, their best contact number, and please put the code word we share in the subject line. And now I think V is going to pull a winner for us.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Okay, the winner for this door prize, if she is here, is Veronica Stalker. Is she here?
She better be there. She's one of the scholarship winners. Raise your hand, Veronica.
I don't see her hand raised. Veronica, raise your hand. Jonathan Zolbeck, I see your hand raised. I've sent a request to unmute you.
She is here.
Okay.
Somebody's hand is raised.
Yes, it's Jonathan Zolbeck. Jonathan, oh, there you go. And Joe's hand is raised. Let me lower his hand. I see her in the list.
You know what?
I see her, Joe. She's here. Michael, at some point we need to make the scholarship recipient a co-host. I'm going to mute.
No problem. So we found Veronica. Excellent.
Yep. Veronica, just make sure you get in touch with Linda Melendez or you send an email. And if you have any questions, just speak up. Raise your hand. Thank you.
Ellen, do we have another door prize for that great speech that Julie gave us?
Yep. That's a great idea. Thank you.
And I think next year, let's change that email instead of New Jersey, just to Jersey at gmail.com.
Yeah, I think that's good, too. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We're on a roll and we had such a great speech and it's Joe's retirement. So I am going to suggest another $50 gift card from the Northeast chapter. And the code word is guide dog. Okay. Do you have that guide dog? And again, let me repeat those instructions. Three ways to claim it. Email nfbnewjersey@gmail.com or call or text Linda Melendez at 732-421-7063 and leave your name, best contact number, and please put the code word guide dog in the subject matter. And now it's to V.
Trish Evil, are you here?
She's a member of the guide dog committee too. That's pretty cool.
I thought that was appropriate too when I saw the name. I was like, oh, that fits.
Raise your hand, Trish. You see your hand up?
Unless she's here with the phone number, I do not see her identified by her name. So, Trish, if you're here with a phone number, please press *9 and raise your hand. I do not see her hand raised, Joe.
Okay, pick another one.
Sherlock Washington, are you here?
Make sure we tell Trish she lost $5,000 and Sherlock, he's not on. He lost $10,000.
While we're waiting, Ellen, did you say Joe retired? I think I was at the elections last night that I thought he was first vice president. I'm not sure if that's retirement.
I do not see Sherlock here.
All right, let's just do one more, and then if we don't have, we'll move on and save it for later.
Okay. Is Ryan Stevens here?
He should be. 0016 if he's calling in. He might be on his computer, I think. Or text Linda or call Linda at 732-421-7063.
I do not see Ryan Stevens here.
Mm-hmm.
I may have just got someone in trouble.
No. Okay, hold off, and we'll do it after Nick. Next on the agenda is Rick Fox doing a presentation. And then after Rick, that's what we'll do with the door prize.
Okay, great.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey's Raising Expectations Award is given to a Federationist who has provided our organization dedicated service over several years. Additionally, persons who win this award must express our positive attitude toward blindness, not only with their words, but with their lives. They should be a role model and mentor to blind and sighted alike. Tonight's award recipient more than meets these qualifications. Our recipient joined our movement in the late 90s. She helped found our Capital Chapter and has been its president until now. She has been second vice president of our affiliate for 14 years. She has been head of the division committee to promote the use of Braille for as long as anybody can remember. And in that capacity, she has mentored many aspiring Braille readers. She has led our Bell Committee from its inception. She is the longtime recording secretary of our technology division. And if this isn't enough, she chairs the fundraising committee of the Sports and Recreation Division, serves as vice president of the senior division, and is an active member of our at-large chapter and resolutions committee. She has co-edited the Sounding Board, our twice yearly newsletter, for nearly 15 years. Our recipient worked full-time for the New Jersey Department of Human Services for 36 years. When When she retired, she was a supervisor in the Fair Hearings Division. She has raised two children with her husband of 36 years and now dotes on two grandchildren. She volunteers for a crisis counseling organization. She served as president of the Friends of the Library for the Blind and sings in her church choir. This is truly a life of service. This is a woman who has not let blindness hold her back. So, I am proud to present the winner of the 2020 National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey Raising Expectations Award, Mary Jo Partica. Now, I'm sorry, Mary Jo, that you can't experience the applause that other award winners had, but before you get a chance to speak, I want to read you the plaque that you will be getting when we ship it. National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey, live the life you want. We care, we share, we grow, we make a difference. Presents the Raising Expectations Award to Mary Jo Partica in recognition of invaluable contributions to the quality of life of the blind of New Jersey and the nation. Your contribution is measured not in steps, but in miles, not by individual experiences, but by the impact you have had on the lives of the blind. Whenever we have asked, you have answered. We call you our colleague with respect. We call you our friend with love. Together with love, hope, and determination, we transform dreams into reality. November 21st, 2020, from the grateful members of the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey.
I have to tell you, I'm really shocked. I never expected this because I didn't know that we were having a Raising Expectations Award this year. And I thought, how come I don't know that? But I'm really humbled to accept it. I really enjoy doing everything that I do at the Federation. I've made a lot of friends here and I've done a lot of things that I never thought I would be doing. And I really hope that I can continue to do as well as I have been doing and to be there for people. Thank you very much.
Your applause, Mary Jo.
Oh, thank you.
You got it. I remember when Mary Jo retired, we were on a conference call, and she made the announcement. She was, in 2-3 days, whatever it was, I'm retiring. Joe, I'll have more time to do anything you want me to do. I said, Mary Jo, be careful. What you wish, you will get more. Don't you worry. And whatever we, like the plaque, whatever we ask, she's always stepped forward. So Mary Jo, thank you. Thanks, Stan, for giving her the opportunity to spend the hours with us. And we really appreciate your hard work and support to the organization. Thank you, Mary Jo.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we did keep it a secret from you. Ha ha.
Yes, you did.
That was the purpose of it. There you go.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay, let's get a door prize for that in honor of Mary Jo Partica as our Raising Expectations for 2020. The plaque will be coming to you shortly.
Okay. Mary Jo, congratulations. So, so well deserved. I'm going to go back to that wonderful $50 Amazon gift card from the Northeast chapter, and the code word is guide dog, and there are three ways to get it. You can email nfb.newjersey@gmail.com or call or text Linda Melendez at 732-421-7063. And winners, leave your name, leave your best contact number, and remember the code word in the subject line. Guide dog. Thank you. V, take it from.
Excuse me, V, before you pull a card, is Linda on there? Did Linda, did anybody text you or call you on the last time?
Hold on a second. Yes, I'm here. Let me just see. I did get a text message from Marissa. And hold on. Let me see my other text message. I got a text message from Veronica.
Veronica won. She's okay.
Yeah, and I got a message from Marissa. What's her name called?
Marissa. I don't know who Marissa is. No, her name was not called. I don't know who Marissa is. So, okay. All right. We just want to make sure. So go ahead, V. Pull that name out.
Okay. Is Marion Lee here?
Let me check the participants.
Marion Lee from the Capital Chapter. Isn't that something?
Marion is here. She's on her iPad.
All right, Marion Lee. You are a winner once again. Not a whiner, but a winner. Okay. Super duper. Good job.
Well, don't forget, follow Ellen's instructions. Ellen, you got a job at this door prize announcement. Janie's right. We got to put your name into national. They probably do national door prizes.
She's saying right now, don't do me any favors. No, don't make season. Leah Stone, get ready. And can we have the five scholarship winners raise their hand so we have them ready to roll? So let's do one more door prize, Ellen. Is that okay? While they're getting their hands raised and getting unmuted?
That sounds like a great idea, Joe. Okay. We have a $25 check from the Garden State chapter. And thank you, Garden State chapter. And the code word, now remember this, live the life you want. Can you remember that? Live the life you want. Okay. So you have three ways to collect it. Email nfb.newjersey@gmail.com or call Linda Melendez or text her at 732-421-7063. And the winner, please remember your code word, live the life you want. Put it in the subject line and give your name and best contact number. Congratulations.
Okay, is Brianna Murray here?
Unless she's dialed in on a phone, I don't see her listed with the name.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Brianna Murray.
Okay.
I don't see her listed under the name unless she's dialed in with the phone number. So, Brianna Murray, please press *9 and raise your hand. I feel like I got to step my game up with Ellen. My announcement. Nope.
Okay, let me draw again. What about Eileen Levin?
Eileen Levin.
No. Unless she's in with a phone number. She was a presenter, and I don't see her. But Eileen, if you're here, oh, wait a minute. No, that's not it. Mike, can you make Marissa a co-host? Her hand is raised. I do not see Eileen Levin's hand raised. And as many of you can tell, Lucas is no longer in my lap. Logan got home from work and took him. So the best way to mute Linda is to put Lucas on her lap and making noise.
Should I do one more, Joe?
Yeah, one more.
All right, how about Dan Ficini?
Dan Ficini.
I think Dan's here. It says Dan's iPhone, too. Dan Ficini.
Dan, how you doing? All right? Good.
So, Dan, don't forget to, in order to claim your prize, you got to call, text, or send an email.
But he's there.
Okay, it says
Dan's 2S iPhone. And I would imagine Dan having two iPhones. Okay. He hasn't raised his hand yet, but Dan and technology don't really like each other.
Well, Dan could call you or text you. He's got 10 minutes to do that, so... Get that done, Dan. If not, we'll just add it on at the end. We're going to do scholarships now. And Leah Stone, did all the students raise their hands so we can unmute them?
I believe I saw all of them raise their hands.
Okay. So let me turn this over to Leah. At the end of this presentation, we will do another door prize, and then I'll say a few words, and Linda can say a few words, and we'll gavel out, and you can have the rest of the night to yourselves as we close the convention. So, Leah, it's all yours.
Thank you, Joe. So before I go into my scholarship spiel and introduce the class of 2020, I want to give a quick thank you and recognition to our donors who provide the scholarships for our students. The EDGE Scholarship is supported by Anne-Marie Cook and her husband, Doug. Anne-Marie's commitment to the education of blind youth is unparalleled, whether that's her work mentoring students in the EDGE program or with real material support in the form of the scholarship. Anne-Marie's support for the education of young blind people is fantastic. And I literally challenge someone else to match or beat her. Maybe we can have another scholarship. Klaus and Michelle Zechner are supporting the STEM scholarship. Klaus is a computer scientist. I know what he does is more specific than that, but I was not a STEM person. So that's as specific as I'm willing to go. But Klaus's commitment in particular in the last couple of years to supporting blind students interested in STEM and really blind women interested in STEM has been absolutely fantastic and incredible. Gail and Tom Ferry were supporters of the Federation for decades and decades. I know many people are still grieving the loss of their son, John, earlier this year. And the Ferry Memorial Scholarship is one way that their commitment to the blind community in New Jersey can continue to live and grow. I'm sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties. Okay, sorry about that. Tara Cardi, who I never had the privilege of knowing, was a woman who was fiercely committed to her own education. And through her love of writing, we are thrilled to be able to support the education of a blind student each year who is committed to the language arts. And lastly, the Louise and Peter Ficini Memorial Scholarship. Again, I did not have the privilege of knowing Dan Ficini's parents, but they were longtime members, supporters of the Federation who later became members. And from everything that I hear, I have no doubt that they would be proud to see their support continued in the students that we have awarded in their name. So thank you to everybody who continues to support the scholarship program, and thank you for supporting our students, most importantly. So I am going to start my spiel. Ellen, I don't know if that was the clue you wanted.
Linda, you mean? Linda?
Wait, didn't Ellen text me?
No, Linda did.
Why did it say Ellen? Okay, you know what? I'm not having a good tech day.
Okay, hold on 1 second. But yeah, that's the key for me. Hold on.
Okay. Excited to present the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey Scholarship Class of 2020. But before I do, you're going to have to hear me talk about scholarships a little bit more. So again, please get the word out about the scholarship applications being open. They open November 1st. They close March 31st. It would be great if not everybody applied all at the last minute, but what can I do if that happens again? But please share this opportunity with as many blind people as you know. This is an investment in our future. This is an investment in building leadership of the Federation for years and years to come. And it's a way that we can recruit more people into the organization, period. So it's been a rough 8 or 9 months for a lot of us. And, you know, one of the things that I've been doing as of late is reflecting on how I spent my last couple of weeks not working or outside of work before I had to go into lockdown mode with everybody else. I traveled to Washington, D.C. for the Washington seminar. I traveled to New Hampshire and Virginia to knock on doors for the Bernie Sanders campaign. I traveled into the city to meet up with some friends and see a Broadway musical. These are not extraordinary things. These are the activities of any normal politically active theater nerd. But 5 years ago, I never would have thought I would do any of that stuff independently. It is only with the training I received from the CCB that I am able to live the life I want outside of quarantine. But I didn't know CCB existed, and I barely knew the NFB existed. And my introduction to all of this was the scholarship application during my final year of grad school. So I'm just saying, it is a fantastic recruitment tool, not just a literal investment in our future. So please get the word out. All right. So our first winner, the winner of the EDGE Award, is someone who I've been thrilled to work with over the last couple of years as a mentor in our EDGE program, Nina Green. Nina is getting her master's degree in clinical mental health counseling and rehabilitation counseling at Rutgers University. And so all of our scholarship winners are going to say some brief thank you. So Nina, if you are able to unmute yourself, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Leah. Thank you, everyone. And I'm gratefully, eternally grateful for the appreciative of the NFB organization and to Mrs. Amory and Mr. Doug Cook for the donors of the EDGE scholarship. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for seeing my dedication and my vision for helping others within our community and helping them to be empowered to achieve their personal goals in life. I also want to take a minute or a few seconds, I should say, to thank my mother, who is my biggest supporter, my cheerleader, my go-getter in life, my best friend, who listens to me rant, who listens to my schedule and get the endless phone calls. I also want to give a thanks to my love for always keeping me focused and encouraging me and giving me those 4 a.m. wake-up calls to do my work and to empower others. And I also want to give a special notice to my boys, my young men. I hope I'm setting an example for you guys, and I hope that you guys can live to my standards of helping others within the community as well. And I hope you guys are extremely proud of your mom as much as I am extremely proud of you. And to everyone else, I promise to continue to return the same guidance, support, and care that I have been graciously bestowed to me. So thank you, everyone. I'm greatly appreciative. And thank you again.
Thank you, Nina. We are so proud of you.
Thank you.
Next, the winner of the Louise and Peter Ficini Memorial Scholarship is Miss Veronica Stocker. Veronica is getting her master's degree in clinical psychology at the Teachers College of Columbia University. Veronica is clearly determined. I interviewed her while she was sick with COVID earlier this year, and she did not want to reschedule. She did not want to put it off. She is a determined woman who is going to do fantastic things in our community and in the broader community. So Veronica, if you're able to unmute yourself, please go ahead.
Thank you, Leah. You can hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I actually forgot about the fact that I had COVID during our interview. So thanks for the reminder. But yeah, thank you all so much. It's been such, I just can't even, there are no words for what an honor and a joy and a pleasure it's been to be getting more and more involved with the NFB community in the past year, specifically with the New Jersey chapter. Meeting Joe Ruffalo, of course, virtually, and Carly and Leah and Linda and everybody else who I've interacted with, and Nina too. We've worked a little bit together in the EDGE program. It's just been a whirlwind. And it's funny to say that it being all virtual. I haven't met anybody in person yet, but I truly can't wait to meet everyone in person and just continue to be involved. And I couldn't do what I do without the support of you all, without the support of this scholarship. So it really means a lot. It's going to help me continue to do the work that I've been doing and hopefully, you know, lead as an example to young people in the blind community. I have never let blindness stand in the way of living my best life, and I hope to inspire others to do the same. And I hope to continue the work in not only working within the community, but in the research that I am doing in school. So it really, really is an honor. And I also wanted to thank my brother and sister-in-law who are on the call right now. My brother is also blind, and we've spent our entire lives just being buddies ease in that and you know, being side by side. And I also couldn't have done everything that I've done without his support and, you know, his example. He's older than me. So my big bro, thank you so much. And yeah, I just can't wait to see where this goes. So thank you again. And congratulations to the other scholarship winners.
Thank you, Veronica. All right. The winner of the Terracardi Memorial Scholarship. This is someone who I am proud of all of our scholarship winners, but this one was one of my students in the EDGE program. So I'm going to brag on her a little bit more. So Jo talked about this yesterday a little bit during her panel with Blind Inc., but I am just over the moon at how much this student has changed from the time she was one of my students in the EDGE program to seeing her now after going through Blind Inc. If anybody ever doubts the what can happen at an NFB training center, I would encourage them to speak to her. So I would like to introduce now a freshman at SUNY Binghamton who is interested in writing and social work, Ms. Annie Safier. Annie, if you're able to, unmute yourself.
Thank you, Leah. And I cannot thank you and Joe enough for that original conversation where my whole family and I decided I was going to go to Minnesota after I finished high school. It was definitely a life-changing experience and very well worth it. I also gotta thank my family, of course, for their endless amount of support. They always believed that I could do it, even if they didn't know how necessarily to teach me how to do things without vision. They always knew that somehow I could do it and that I would be able to, and I thank you so much. I guess my friends that I've made over the years in school and my teachers for the endless support in academics that I could achieve anything I want to, and to boost my confidence enough to be able to be creative and want to help people. And I also have I'm definitely thankful to the Office of Disability Services that I've had in both high school and college, who continuously make sure I can read as much Braille as I need to and do whatever it takes to achieve my goals. And I know this is probably a lot shorter, but I hope to continue to help both the blind and the general community in social work and other various issues. And congratulations to the other winners. You deserve this very much.
Thank you so much, Annie. All right. And now our two final winners are our national scholarship winners. So the winner of the Klaus and Michelle Zechner STEM Scholarship is Jillian Milton. Jillian is someone who's been around the Federation for a long time, since she was a young girl. She is a freshman at Lafayette College, where she is studying electrical and computer engineering. And before I embarrass myself by trying to talk more about what that is, I'm going to stop talking and turn it over to Jillian. If you're able to, please unmute yourself.
Hi, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So good evening, everyone. As Leah said, my name is Jillian Milton, and I am so incredibly honored to receive the New Jersey STEM Scholarship as well as the National Scholarship. First of all, I would like to thank Linda Melendez, Joe Ruffalo, and all those who made the New Jersey NFB State Convention possible, as well as Leah Stone, obviously, for all her hard work on the scholarship committee. This has been such a great experience, you know, the convention this week. And, you know, I love hearing and meeting blind individuals who are having success and making differences in the world. This week, I attended great events such as the career panel, and I signed up for the technology division listserv. Like many of you, I have had my fair share of challenges. Due to my premature birth, I weighed at 1.5 pounds and was diagnosed with ROP. I had to learn how to eat, speak, and even tolerate sounds. And it was a very long and laborious journey, but I'm fortunate that that my parents learned about the resources that the NFB offered very early on. And in fact, I attended my first national convention in 2009 in Detroit, Michigan, and I still have a paper copy of the agenda. Like I just found it today. While I was only 7, and I don't really remember that much, my parents left with a positive outlook on my future and the belief that I would learn Braille and mobility and basically all the other blindness skills necessary to be successful. In middle school, I attended Project Innovation in Baltimore, where I met many amazing blind inventors and began to believe that I could be a blind inventor as well. I have always had an interest in improving products, and this is why I'm majoring in electrical and computer engineering at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania. Attending some of the New Jersey State conventions have been both informative as well as fun. I remember on one occasion I won a good portion of the door prizes at the banquet, and I think I was just too lucky. I also remember Jill Ruffalo telling me that I was going to win a scholarship one day, and I guess my luck has held. Thank you, Joe, and you know everyone else at the NFB for believing in me. I'll use the funding towards supplementing my assistive technology needs in college and beyond, and the generous contribution and support of such inspiring people means a lot to me. Thank you very much. I'm so honored.
Thank you, Jillian. And last but not least, the winner of the Galen Tom Ferry Memorial Scholarship is Marissa Nisley. Marissa is also one of our national scholarship winners. She is a freshman at Georgetown University, where she is studying economics and has plans to go on to law school one day. Marissa is going places. I have no doubt about that. And you all will see that too after hearing her talk for all of 30 seconds. She is a driven, bright, and determined young woman who I am sure we will be seeing a lot of fantastic things from. So Marissa, if you can unmute yourself, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Firstly, I would like to say how grateful I am to be receiving this scholarship. It really means a lot to me, especially during these uncertain times. This was actually my first experience with the National Federation of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey. So I'm very grateful to meet all of you and hear all your stories. Your willingness to share your experiences and your positive view about blindness is really inspiring to me, and I'm hoping to do the same throughout my life. I have been home for the fall semester at Georgetown, and I will be at home in New Jersey for the rest of the year. So hopefully, if things get better, I will be able to meet some of you in person eventually. During my time at quarantine, I actually started a podcast called Legally Blonde and Blind about my experiences as a blind young adult. So through that platform, and hopefully working with the National Federation of the Blind in the future, I hope to inspire other blind people. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marissa. And thank you all of our scholarship winners. We are all so very proud of you, and we can't wait to see what awesome things you go out and do in the world.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you, scholarship winners. You need, let me just back up. You're going to get a check in the mail, and that's fine. And you'll spend it, and that's fine. But the real gift is the gift of the National Federation of the Blind. I hope all of you will join the student division and perhaps a local chapter and really get your teeth into the National Federation of the Blind. Who we are, what we are. We need you to help us to learn from you and to give the gift to other people. You're all in school. Eventually, you'll be back in school, and you can share the gift with others at your school about who we are and what we are. So it's the gift that we give you, the mentorship that we provide, the encouragement to keep raising your expectations. So what, I don't know if Leah went over this with you or not. I assume she did. Maybe she didn't. She probably did. So I'll just reinforce it then. You need to write Leah a thank you to the scholarship committee, however you want to do it. 2, 3, 4 paragraphs. No more than that. We're going to collect all of these, and it's going to go into our newsletter. We will send checks out when we get all 5 in. We used to give out the checks and ask for these letters, and we wouldn't get them for 9-10 months. So this is kind of an incentive to, you know, write a short little 2-3 paragraphs, whatever, and you'll send them to Leah. Leah will get them over to Amory Cook, and we'll do what we need to do with them. Once we have all 5, we're not going to send out one check here, one check 2 weeks from now. Well, it's like the EDGE program, Leah. When you get your timesheets in, all the checks go out. So That's how we got to do it, okay? Any questions from the scholarship winners? Congratulations to all. Leah, thank you for cheering. I think there's a possibility, a tremendous possibility. In fact, there is no doubt in my mind that you'll be doing this. Of course, you'll be cheering this again. You do a great job. You have a good rapport with the students. And congratulations to you, Leah, on being elected to the board of the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
So, Joe.
Yes.
Your NFB family loves you. You know that. And there's only one way to celebrate this day with you at this time. And it's for Linda to play something that we have ready for you. And if you know the words and you're in your home, you certainly can sing along to the chorus. Linda, take it away.
Oh, thank God, finally. 1 second.
Coming.
Pause. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Here it comes. Yep.
Too loud?
When I find myself in times of trouble, Brother Joe, he comes with me. Speaks his words of wisdom and at peace. And in my hour of darkness, there is still a light that shines for me, because of his compassion to NFB. Never felt better, NFB. For 27 years, you've been our leader, transforming dreams to reality. With gratitude, we thank you, Love and JNFB. We care, we share, we grow. These are the words of Joe Ruffalo. And yes, you've made a difference to NJNFB. Sing with me. Here we go. NFB, 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 NFB. Never felt better, NFB. Again, NFB, 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 NFB. Never felt better, NFB.
I shared my brother with the whole NFB family, and you are awesome. God love you.
Thank you, Jane. That song always puts a good love in my heart. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Julie is there. We can say a few words, and then I'll say a few words, and we'll end this thing. Before we end it, we will have a door prize, and then we'll end it.
All I can say is NFB, NFB. And Joe Ruffalo, I have loved being in Jersey this And so thank you guys so much. I love you guys. And Joe, I know we're still going to be talking to you about all kinds of things. And Linda, can't wait to be working more and more and more with you too. And it has been an honor to be with our New Jersey family this weekend.
Thank you, Julie. Very kind of you, and very very happy that you were able to be on our calls quite a bit. That was wonderful. And your knowledge and educate and motivate and inspire us will be with us for a long time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Okay, this is the coming to the end of this. I don't want to do the door prize just yet, I don't think. No, not just yet. So I just want to thank everyone for attending, for their input to the agenda, for your many, many questions during the convention, and your kind words you provided to me throughout this weekend. That I will cherish for many, many years to come, So thank you. Linda, you can say a few words, and then we have a presentation, and then the door prize.
Well, Joe, I have one more thing to play, and I don't know when you want to play it. I'd like it to be last, so you can make suggestions when I can play it.
You can probably play it as we leave the room.
No, you have to hear it.
Well, then you play it when you want to play it. How's that?
Okay, great.
Should we do it
like
now?
That? No. What?
Should we do it after you speak?
Yes, we can, darling. Yes. That's so,
wonderful.
Joe, I have a package here that I was told not to open.
No, don't open it yet.
Okay, no problem. Okay.
Wait till Christmas. No, don't open it yet.
Okay, so I just want to say that it is my privilege and honor to have been elected your president. I look forward to growing what Joe has made and working with all of you. It's been a long road to learn, and it's been a fun road. And I can't tell you how humbled I am to work with all of you. I want to continue to change what it means to be blind and make it respectable to be blind. And I can't do that without all of us together. We need to keep the foundation strong, build on it, fine-tune it, and work together. So let's not only build the federation together, but let's strengthen New York, people. Hold on a second.
So instead of just the NFB family hearing, I want Joe, you to listen carefully. This is coming from heaven. It's Daddy.
Nicely done. Great. Before we give this over to Linda, my mom and dad were very big supporters in our organization. They were members of the associate plan when we had the associate plan years ago. They labeled, they stapled, they folded, they went to the post office, they picked people up at the train station and bring them to meetings and so on and so forth. When my father passed, I was very fortunate to be at his bedside. And a couple days prior to that, he says, Joe, start some kind of scholarship for the kids, the family, however you want to do it. It's fine. Pop will take care of it. So when he passed away, so many people donated money to this fund. And you know, I thought we'd get a couple hundred bucks. We ended up with over $13,000. So we started this fund. My mother continued paying, or I should say donating $1,000 a year from 2000 to 2007 when she passed. Over the years, the Joe and Rose scholarship line item has helped many people get to convention, has defrayed some costs for Washington seminar. We helped many people with first timers with this money. And we have a Vanguard account with interest now in it, probably close to $30,000 in there. We haven't touched it yet. Over the years, Jane and I figured out in this 2000 with my mom giving money and my father, whatever. We have probably given away, probably about $25,000. Maybe probably more than that. So we give away $25,000. We have $30,000 in a Vanguard account, give or take a dollar or two. And in our line item account, that's the one we really use quite a bit. I think there's about $7,000 or $8,000 in there. And every year we give out $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. So that's what my family's all about. That's what you're all about. Sometimes you donate to the Joe and Rose Fund or line item fund. And the more we get, the more we give. So thank you all for contributing, and thank you for hearing that story. Mom, Pop, you're the best. You're the best.
Aww.
Yep. So let me turn this over to my, by the end of today, we hit the gavel. She will be Madam President. So I'm going to give you an executive order right now, Linda, to let me get in the other room and get my gavel, and I'll give you notice when to do that. But you're not going to do it, because that's the last thing we do is hit the gavel. So why don't we do that last door prize? I don't want anybody. No. Then people leave. How can we do this? I know. Let us do the door prize, then we'll hit the gavel, and then we'll be done. So don't go away, people. There's another 2 or 3 minutes, and we'll be done. So this door prize is what?
Okay. This final door prize is a $100 check from the NFB NJ affiliate. And the code word is next. Generation. Next generation for a $100 check from the NFBNJ affiliate. So there are three ways. Email nfb.newjersey@gmail.com or call Linda Melendez at 732-421-7063. You can call or text her, and the winners must give their name, their best contact number, and the door prize, code word, next generation, in the subject line. So next generation, V, take it from here.
Okay. Is Paul Agostinelli in the room?
Oh, I hope he is. Let's see if he's there. Raise that hand, Paul.
He's not listed by name, but he could be in by a number, by his phone number. So call, press *9. I don't see you listed in the names, meaning that you came into the Zoom app. And Joe, I just want to remind you that before we go, we should give Mac 2 minutes to talk about the PAC plan.
Oh, absolutely. And get that PAC song ready.
Yeah.
Who, me?
No, Michael.
Michael has it. Right, hold off. Let's give Paul a chance to get on. Let's do the PAC song, and Mac, you have 2-3 minutes to do PAC, and then we'll have Linda open that present up.
Oh, I think we have to make... hold on a second. We have to unmute Mac. Sorry, Mac. Hold on a second. Hold on. Where are you, Mac? Okay. Mac, I just sent a request to unmute. There you go, Mac. You're unmuted.
Sign up today. We need your contributions right away. Funding our move, it must be done, so all our battles can be won. It's called the PAC plan. The PAC plan. Find a table in the back today. PAC plan. The PAC plan. Sign up with no delay.
Well, greetings, fellow Federationists. Unfortunately, this evening, our table is not in the back of the room, but it is online and on the phone tonight. So, I hope you all have heard all the great many things that we do here in the Federation or this great convention and are willing to contribute 17 cents a day, as Joe says, as little as $5 a month. How you can contribute and help us continue growing the Federation is by going to nfb.org/PA. Again, that is nfb.org/hat. Or for those of you that need to call in and do it by phone, you can dial 877-NFB, the number 2-PAC. For those of you that need those digits again, it is 877-632-2722. Again, that is 877-NFB-2-PAC. If you call and leave a message, a person from the hacking will return your call. If you go ahead and go to nfb.org/hat, fill out the form, somebody will contact you from our packing and collect all your information. Thank you for all that you guys do, and let's build the Federation.
Thank you. Beautiful. Clark King.
Clark King is here.
All right, $100, Clark. So the only thing left to do is for Linda to open her gift, and then we will end this convention.
Great. I was given strict orders early this morning when my son went to work not to open it. Okay, here we go. Oh my gosh. let me take it out of the bag. I don't know. I can't see where the thing's out of the bag. You are so kind and thoughtful, Joe. I'm not going to say what it is until I have both pieces out of the bag. Oh, my God. It's giving me a hard time.
There's a raised hand up from 732.
What's that?
There's a raised hand up. I don't know why. 732 number.
Is it Clark King?
Is it no, Clark King was by name.
No, he hasn't lived down low. No. Oh, okay. Okay.
Just hold on one second. All right, Joe, I have both pieces out of the bag. Joe, you want me to say what it is, or do you want me to do something?
Ma'am, say what it is, and then we'll gavel together.
So Joseph Ruffalo has given me my presidential gavel to start and end the conventions and other meetings. I think this is dangerous for me, Joe, because now I can use my mouth as a gavel.
There you go. So together, let me get my gavel, your gavel. We've got to do this together. We're going to tap it 1, 2, 3 taps, and then you're going to say National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey's 44th State Convention has been adjourned. Ready? Okay. 1, 2, 3. Ready to go.
National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey 44th State Convention has been adjourned.
Congratulations, Yay. Madam President.
Congratulations.
Thank you
Take
so
care,
much.
Linda.
Congratulations! Yay! Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jersey!
Hey, Jersey!
Yay!
Thank you all so much.
Congratulations, really- Linda.
Congratulations, Linda.
Phone, Jane. Jane, phone.
Let me tell you a story. I lost my gavel. I can't find it. I put it someplace so I wouldn't lose it. Of course, I lost it. So I've been using a hubcap mallet that I've had for forever. And I brought this hubcap mallet to the convention in 1996 in Cherry Hill. And Dr. Merrill was our national rep. And he heard me hit the gavel a few times. He says, let me see your gavel. He goes, no, this isn't a gavel. I said, no, it's a hubcap mallet. I don't have a gavel. I didn't get one yet. You know, the next year, he handed all the state presidents a gavel. Which is, and I can't, I'll find it. I'll put it in my bookcase. So, Linda, don't lose it. If you do, I have a hubcap mallet for you. Don't worry.